Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear saints of God. Spoiler alert. I'm sure most of us have probably heard this term before. People will often say this to you before they're about to reveal the exciting end of a book they just read. Newspaper articles and articles online will often place this at the beginning of an article in which they're about to tell the whole plot to a new movie or tell the outcome of a big sports game that just happened. I don't know how many of you watched Super Bowl 44 7 years ago, but just in case you were thinking of going home tonight and watching that and you haven't already, spoiler alert, it was February 7th, 2010. The New Orleans Saints and the Indianapolis Colts were locked in an epic showdown. It's the end of the third quarter. The Colts are up 17-16. It's anybody's game. But not for long. The Saints score 15 points and the Colts score 0. Final score 31 Saints, 17 Colts. The Saints triumph, and they win their first and so far only Super Bowl championship. This evening in worship, we are celebrating the festival of the Saints triumphant, something much bigger and much better than a sports game, even a championship. In our readings for today, God shows us in incredible ways how he preserves his people, his saints, and how he saves them. He gives us examples of saints who are already experiencing the joys that are found in heaven, the triumph that they are feeling. And to those of us still here, he gives encouragement. To those of us still journeying through life, waiting for the triumph that is to come, he says this. He says, run the race marked out for you. And we do so because we know what awaits us at the end. The glory of eternal life in heaven with God. In our reading that we're focusing on this evening from Isaiah chapter 52, we see Israel, God's chosen people, as captives. Captives in a foreign land, not their home. And they are burdened. They are struggling. And they're falling asleep. They are falling asleep instead of keeping watch, as God had told them, for the promised deliverance. He told them he would rescue them. But here they are on the verge of giving up hope. So God sent Isaiah, his prophet, to these people. And Isaiah says to them, wake up, awake, awake, Israel. And he continues over and over again, emphasizing this point. Israel, get ready. Your deliverance is coming. Wake up from your spiritual slumber and pay attention. God has not forgotten you. God will come just as he promised. Now you and I know that Israel had a rough history. They were oppressed by Egypt. They were oppressed by Assyria, Babylon, and countless others. And it would be very easy to lose hope. We can sympathize with them. We can only imagine. The Israelites often felt as if there was no end in sight. They would be slaves forever. There was nothing that anybody could do. And surely they were destined to be lost as a people and forgotten. But God remembered. God knew. And although Israel time and time again turned away from their God, God did not turn away from them. In fact, he continued, as he always had, to call them his chosen people. The people who in and of themselves were not worthy of God's love, God's mercy, or even his attention. As Psalm 8 says, "Who is man that you are mindful of him?" Israel had nothing. Isaiah says this when he says they were sold for nothing, and for nothing they were taken away. There was nothing worthwhile in them. Because that's the reality of sin. That's what sin does to people. It makes them worth nothing. Until God decides differently. He made Israel his chosen nation. He made Israel a holy people. God made them saints. Isaiah continues throughout the reading, and he shows again that there's nothing Israel could offer to God in payment for such an incredible gift. There's nothing they could hold out to God and say, "Here, God, look what I have for you. Make me holy." Their hands were empty. There was nothing they could offer God. And that's made very clear. Isaiah says, "Without money, you will be redeemed." And you and I know this can only point ahead to one thing: Jesus. There's nothing the people of Israel did or could do to make Jesus die on the cross for them. All of the money in the world, from the moment it began to the moment it ends, could not even pay for one sin of one person. But God redeemed them anyway. He bought them back from sin, death, and the devil, and made them his chosen people. Now, to be sure, Israel still had enemies. And we see this throughout the whole Bible. They had enemies on all sides. No matter where they turned, people were out to get them. But God was on their side. And none of the enemies that Israel had, spiritual or physical, could overcome God. And that's the beautiful news that Isaiah was talking about. The beautiful news that is proclaimed from the mountaintops. He says, "Your God reigns. He is the ruler of heaven and earth, and he has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem, bought them back. Therefore," the prophet says, "rejoice. Sing to the Lord a new song. Lift up your voices and shout for joy. For all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God." Now, at this point, you might be sitting there saying, "Well, that's all fine and good, but how does this apply to me? I mean, that's a nice story, and I'm happy that things worked out for Israel." But if that's what you're thinking right now, then you're missing the point entirely. You see, this story isn't just about Israel. It's not just for Israel. It's a story about you and me. It's an account about those of us still in our pilgrimage here on earth. We are captives in a foreign land too. We sing with the hymn, "I'm but a stranger here." We live in a sinful world without any place we can go to escape from sin. Sin is everywhere. Even inside you and inside me. Our sinful natures plague us every day of our lives. We feel trapped. We feel stuck in our sins with no way to get out on our own. And maybe you've had some days like Israel. Days where you know what God says, but you begin to wander down a path of your own making. We have days where we know what God says and we know what God commands, but we think we know better. And so we disobey that command from our God. We have days where God is clearly speaking right into my heart, telling me what He has done for me, the good news of grace. And I ignore it because I think something is more important. We have days where instead of relying on Jesus, we trust ourselves as if there were something that we could do to balance out the bad that we do or to somehow get on God's good side. Perhaps we have days where we feel surrounded by enemies, spiritual, physical. Days where nothing is going right. Maybe we even feel like God has forgotten us. When the burden of our sins is so heavy upon us, it's constantly pushing our heads down underwater to the point where we nearly drown. Because that's what sin does. Sin drives us away from our God. And there is no hope without God. When we forget God, we forget everything we need in life. We forget the one who made us. And we forget the one who saved us. But even when we forget God, God remembers us. He does not forget His chosen people, you and me. He knows there is nothing inside us that makes Him want us, but He does it anyway. God looked directly at you, and He said, "I love you, and I want you to be with me forever." And in the waters of holy baptism, God placed His seal on each one of us. He made you a saint, holy before Him. We often think of saints as being the people who are already in heaven, and that's true, but they're not the only ones. The people in this room tonight are saints too. Saints still on earth. You are a saint, a holy person. And this is not because of anything that you've done. It's not because of anything that I have done. No, there is only one thing that makes us saints. It's not attending church. It's not even attending the seminary to be a pastor like I'm doing. In fact, being a saint doesn't depend on us at all. It depends solely on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. And praise God for that. If being a saint depended on me and my actions, I wouldn't even last 1 second. It wouldn't happen. But God has made you and me saints because of what Jesus has done in our place. God gives us promises in His Word. Listen to them, as Isaiah encourages. Hear the proclamation from the mountaintops. Your God reigns. Hear the good news He brings us. News of peace, good tidings, and salvation. Salvation won on a bloody cross. Our chains are gone. We've been set free. Our captivity is over. Yes, we are still in this world. And yes, we will still have trouble. In fact, we're going to have trouble every day of our lives here. But because God has made us saints, we have so much more than that. As the Apostle Paul says, do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. We have hope. We are precious in God's eyes. We are bought back with His own blood. We are dearly loved children, children of our Father. Dear saints of God, wake up. Awake, awake. Remember who you are. Remember what God has done for you. And remember what God has made you. For those times in life where you feel completely overwhelmed by the struggles and the difficulties and the daily grind, when it seems like nothing is going right, we can always look to the cross of our Savior. We can always look to what Jesus has done for us. He died to make you and me saints, holy ones before God. And, spoiler alert, the saints triumph. Amen.